Stacey Abrams likes to fix problems. It's why she founded Fair Fight to combat voter suppression in Georgia after she lost the governor's race in 2018. And her organization ultimately played a big role in flipping that state to Democrats in the 2020 election. Now, Republicans across the country are proposing legislation that would make it even harder for people to vote. But Abrams is not done fighting. She told podcast host Aarti Shahani that efforts to protect the ballot never really stop. You have to keep fighting.
There is a naivete that says, oh, we've gotten this done and therefore we can march forward in victory. No, victory is incredibly temporary. Loss is temporary. And so the third lesson is to recognize that what I did in 18 led me to understand what needs to be done in 20. And what we got done in 20 created a whole new set of issues for 21. And so you can't ever believe that what you've done is enough to defeat those who oppose you.
Shahani recently spoke with Abrams on her podcast, Art of Power, which explores how people view the role of power in the world. And Aarti Shahani joins us now. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
One of the things that struck me immediately in your conversation was in a discussion of perfectionism, because frankly, who does more things than Stacey Abrams?
Right? She is a Renaissance woman. Exactly. Yeah.
She's a TV producer. She writes romance novels in her spare time.
She writes leadership books. She runs organizations. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. So, and yet she does not see herself as an overachiever. What did she say?
It's just so interesting. I would actually clarify, she may see herself as an overachiever, but not a perfectionist. And it might actually be that not being one enables her to be the other. A point she made in our interview is she aims for A minus B plus. She's not trying to get everything perfect because there is actually a cost to doing that. You know, when you're really striving for everything is just right, well, that's time you're not putting into other stuff. And so actually part of how you can explain, I mean, besides the fact that she's just incredibly intelligent and hardworking, you can't take that away. But there is a mindset there. And it's one that I think that I particularly was affected by, because it's like, you know, the conversation with her makes me ask, Aarti, if you weren't so worried about being imperfect, how much more would you let yourself do? And so part of what Stacey Abrams does is she embodies that, how full a woman you can be.
You talked quite a bit about losing, right? Failure. Specifically when she lost the race for governor in Georgia. Yeah. She lost to Brian Kemp in 2018. And this is a point that she's talked about quite a bit. I mean, in some ways, you would think Stacey Abrams at this point has thought about it so much, she's kind of an expert on loss. Mm-hmm. What did you learn from her?
The loss, it's not actually as she describes it. It's not due to anything on her own part that went faulty. You know, she had this machine that was diligently working, doing that door knocking, doing that really unglamorous work of organizing. But she just didn't anticipate just how powerful her opposition in the form of then Secretary of State Brian Kemp, the man running against her and also controlling the machinery of voting, she didn't anticipate how effective he was at, in her view, removing people from the rolls. You know, yes, she turned out, you know, 1.9 million voters showed up for her on election day, but he managed to toss out 1.5 million voters from the rolls. And how much easier it is when you're in a position of authority to axe people from the project of democracy, how much easier it is to do that than to bring people into democracy, to convince them to participate. I mean, it's really a tough fight. There's no such thing as a decisive victory. You win some, you lose some, you get up, you keep going. If you expect to just win and call it a day, you're going to be disappointed because history rarely hands you that. And her point then about viewing the work of democracy as ongoing, where the victories are only temporary. It also means the defeats are only temporary. To me, that was very sobering.
I mean, one thing you realize as you listen to a number of interviews with Stacey Abrams is how kind of honest she is and straightforward.
Yeah, seriously. It is weird for a public official to be so forthright.
It really is. And I wanted to play one of the comments she makes about voting, because when you think Stacey Abrams, you think voting advocate, right? Mm-hmm. But she also, when she spoke to you, was quite honest about the limitations of voting. Let's listen.
Voting isn't magic. Voting is medicine. And so my work is to not only make sure you get the healthcare you need, meaning you have access to the right to vote, but it's also convincing you that it's worth taking the medicine because things do get better incrementally, ploddingly, and we may never cure the disease, but if we can treat the symptoms, things will get better. There is progress, but we've got to be honest about that.
How does she think that message plays with people who are cynical about voting? That's a nuanced message.
It is. And you know, she made the point to me that people are not indifferent. A lot of people are not registered to vote. It means that they don't believe. They don't have faith that this is really going to change something. And that's actually not so different from how we are when we're supposed to take a certain medicine and we just stop because we don't really think it's going to cure the disease, right? And so I think the analogy is very apt. And so much of her work then on the ground, as she describes it, has been to convince people, you matter, and we're going to tackle issues that you care about, right? And it is, I said this a little bit before, but I want to kind of emphasize this. There is a very big play she's got going on that is not the typical political play. Typically, people running in politics are not looking at, oh, how do I get the unlikely voters to come in and join me? It's how do I get the middle to fall to my side? And the middle is actually quite small. The unactivated is much larger. And so she's made that bet. She's made that bet.
You didn't just talk about politics, for sure. Mm-mm. I mean, you mentioned...
Nope. We did not just do that.
You mentioned her romance novels. She sees them as a way for her to experience things she may never get to in her life, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's hear a little bit of her talking about that.
I've not been great at dating. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, after a while, you realize some of it's them and some of it's you. Mm-hmm. I think I could get better at it. I just have to practice. But I have friends who are just sort of innately, they think about love in this wonderfully kind and inclusive and soft way that I'm just not capable of. Mm. I think I'm a good partner. I think I'm a good person, but I sometimes forget the easy sort of soft things.
I mean, that honesty, it'll just get you every time.
Such a public figure.
Yeah, right. It's surprising. Yeah. I wonder what you took away from this part of the conversation.
She opened the door to a discussion of her romantic life. She referred to, as we were talking to each other, the fact that she's not much of a romantic. And
yet writes romance novels.
And, you know, something I had observed in interviews of her and profiles of her prior to our conversation was that she seems to leave the door open. She seems to be ready, willing, and able to talk about that aspect of her life, maybe perhaps more than we are able to absorb it, to be curious, to open that door ourselves. You know, that's an interesting thing about being interviewed, is there's what you're willing to offer and there's what the other person is willing to take in. And if so much of her public voice has been immersed in the political field and sort of, you know, into a discussion of partisan politics, that field doesn't leave so much space for the woman, right?
Yeah.
And she is one, fully one. You know, it's not so different from when she publicly said that she was interested in being President Biden's, at that point, candidate Biden's running mate as vice president. She just put it out there. Yeah, I'm interested. It's boldness, right? To say what you have to offer, to say what you're working on, to say what you need. It's an interesting act of vulnerability that I don't see that often in public figures.
Aarti Shahani, host of the WBEZ podcast Art of Power, talking with us about her interview with democracy activist Stacey Abrams. Aarti, thanks so much.
Thank you.